Marcus Fifth sat at his desk, trying not to notice a pair of narrow eyes staring at him from outside his classroom, through a slat in one of the windows. All around him, 12-year-olds and their parents shuffled into the cramped classroom for Exodus Middle School's last day before summer vacation, fanning the Nevada heat from their faces. His sister Ellie sat across from him, lost in the latest Talena Hex witch hunter novel, or whatever new fantasy book she had managed to scrounge up. Her book choices didn't do much to stop the rumors about their family. The two chairs to either side of Marcus and Ellie remained empty. Marcus slouched over his desk, pulled out his cell phone, and started thumbing a text message. Ellie was clearly zoned out to the commotion in the room or the stranger watching them. She scowled over her book's spine, however, when her phone vibrated twice in the bag on her lap.
"What?" she asked. "You realize I'm sitting across from you, right? How do you even know that was me?" "Because you're the only one that ever texts me."
Marcus lowered his voice.
"Read it."
Ellie grabbed her phone and scanned the message. Her head darted toward the window.
"Could you be any more obvious?"
Marcus hissed.
"Very funny. You made me look for some make-believe weirdo."
Ellie kicked him under the table before returning to her book.
"Happy?"
Marcus glanced up at the window and sighed. Sure enough, the stranger had vanished. Marcus wanted to explain himself, to let Ellie know that it wasn't a prank. But when he tried to remember exactly what he saw, how to describe it, his head began to hurt, and his mind felt cloudy. All he could picture was the stranger's penetrating, jade eyes. He felt like an idiot. He would need more detail than that if he were to alert an adult.
The jade eyes had disappeared. Like magic.
That was all Marcus could think to say. He chuckled. Of course, he couldn't word it that way. Marcus and Ellie weren't allowed to make fun of magic. Despite trying to distract himself, Marcus found himself observing the other kids leading their parents to their seats. He had hoped to avoid this. Now he couldn't help but imagine what they were feeling or what they were thinking. He didn't want to care. Mr. Diddley, Marcus and Ellie's teacher, had just walked up to the cluster of desks. He was a wide, squatty man with gray hair and a thick mustache. Underneath his tweed sports coat, his girth tested the red and blue suspenders that held up his worn khaki pants. He squinted at the empty desks next to Marcus and Ellie.
"Marcus,"
Mr. Diddley said. He removed a pen and notepad from behind his shirt pocket protector and examined a checklist. Marcus was busy sending another text message.
"You told your grandparents about the year-end review tonight, didn't you?"
"Huh?"
Marcus tilted his head, his eyes never leaving his cell phone. Ellie nudged him sharply, drawing his attention to Diddley's growing impatience.
Yeah, Mr. Diddley," Marcus said mechanically. "I'm sure they'll be here soon. They're probably just closing up the shop."
That last word hung in the air, leaving the room a little quieter.
"Good. I have a number of things I'd like to address with them."
Mr. Diddley's eyes fell on Marcus's phone. Marcus had moved on to Alex Slider's latest app recommendation, so he didn't notice Mr. Diddley's disapproving glare.
"You should be more careful, Marcus,"
Ellie said, setting her book on the desk.
"You know how Mr. Diddley gets when you ignore him."
"But I paid attention," Marcus said.
"Besides, he didn't do any—"
Before he could finish, Mr. Diddley yanked the phone from his hand with surprising quickness, his arm striking like a fat snake in a tweed sleeve.
"What the—"
Marcus shot up out of his chair and spun around, fists clenched. Before he realized who had actually taken his phone, Marcus was sure it was John Rackham. Marcus wasn't the most popular kid in school. His family situation had been the cause of more than a little teasing. His grandparents' weird shop didn't help his reputation much either.
"Typical bully behavior," Marcus thought.
He wasn't sure what had happened, but he was sure of one thing. No one was stealing his phone. Anger boiled to rage as Marcus realized who the real thief was. It infuriated him, but there was nothing he could do. Marcus watched Mr. Diddley strut away, cell phone wagging in his hand. He set it on his desk with a single mocking pat before sitting on his desk chair, an old recliner that he had brought from home. Still on his feet, knuckles white, Marcus oozed resentment. He glared at Mr. Diddley's yellow-toothed smile and thought how he'd like to shove a toothbrush in his mouth and teach him how to use it.
"Sit down,"
Ellie tugged on his arm.
"I'm sure he'll give it back after our meeting."
Marcus sunk back into his chair and slapped his desk. If Diddley noticed, he showed no sign of it. Evidently, when he set up the classroom projector, he put all his focus into it.
"Psst,"
a short blonde girl said from behind him. When Marcus turned around, she eyed the empty chairs near Marcus and Ellie.
Run out of family to bring to these things?
Marcus heard a smattering of snickers from the other kids and felt the heat rising to his face.
Shut it, Elizabeth,
whispered Marcus, and then he glanced over at the folks across from her.
Your good looks must have scared my family away.
Elizabeth Stratton was the most popular girl in school, and the most vain. He knew that raising any question about her unfailing beauty would send her into a rage. He hoped so, anyway. Instantly, Elizabeth bolted to her feet. The sudden movement startled Marcus.
When I'm done with you, Meathead, you'll wish you had my family's good looks!
Elizabeth raised her arms, her cat-like claws at the ready. Elizabeth's father whirled around.
What's wrong, Lizzie?
Even with the man sitting, Marcus could tell he was tall and athletic, like he had more time to spend at the gym than the average working man. Marcus didn't care how big her father was, and left his seat anyway.
That'll be quite enough, Marcus,
a gentle, metered voice said. An older gentleman had just walked in wearing dark jeans, a collared shirt, and a sports coat around his portly frame, his blue eyes fixed on Elizabeth's father. Marcus made no argument, nor did he turn around before he sat down at his desk and mumbled a half-hearted apology to Elizabeth.
Very good,
the man said, taking his place next to Marcus. A pleasant-looking woman of approximately the same age accompanied him. She wore a long, rust-colored dress accented by bulky turquoise jewelry. Her bracelets and necklace clattered softly as she sat in the chair next to Ellie.
There's no issue here, the older man said to Elizabeth's father.
Something about his words or his cold blue eyes seemed to have a calming effect on him, and he slowly settled back into his chair, almost bewildered, without another word.
Grandma and Grandpa!
Ellie said, looking up from her book.
Glad you could finally make it,
she smiled broadly.
Sorry we're late, dear, but we had to balance the till at the shop, you know,
Charlotte Firth explained to her grandchildren.
Then it shouldn't have taken that long,
Marcus said under his breath. His grandpa's eyes narrowed as Marcus pointed at Mr. Diddley.
Grandpa, Mr. Diddley took my cell phone.
Were you using it?
His grandpa asked.
Well, yes, but...
Were you supposed to be using it?
His grandpa asked.
Technically, no, but...
Then why are you complaining? You should have seen that coming,
he winked.
Precisely,
Mr. Diddley said, his whiny voice still grating even from some distance behind them.
Thanks for your support,
he added. Apparently, eavesdropping wasn't against his scruples.
Now that we're all here, we'll commence with the year-end review,
Mr. Diddley announced to the class.
But before we begin, I wanted to turn some time over to Elizabeth Stratton. She informed me several days ago that there was a tie for top points earned in the class this year. She had what I think you'll agree was a brilliant idea for an extra credit tiebreaker. She and a few others from Exodus's own newspaper committee have since reviewed the activity archive for the year and put together a collection of pictures and anecdotes as a primer for our meeting tonight and as a farewell to the school year.
Elizabeth gave Marcus a sly smile.
Now I will turn the time over to Elizabeth, after which we will meet for parent-teacher reviews, then issue your final grades to you and your parents.
He paused to look down on Marcus and Ellie's grandparents.
Or guardians. Miss Stratton?
Mr. Diddley clapped his hands once and made his way to the light switch. Elizabeth walked to the front of the class, picking up the projector remote en route, and nodded to Mr. Diddley. The room went dark, revealing a projected picture of a shiny cartoon trophy with embossed block letters that read, The X Awards. Elizabeth cleared her throat. The class rustled, and a few kids giggled with anticipation.
A few weeks ago, I sent each of you on a short survey. Based on your notes, we have put together the following presentation.
She pressed a button on the projector remote. The screen blinked, and the class roared with laughter at a picture of a round, red-faced boy with his ketchup-smeared cheeks bulging with food. The camera had caught his eyes wide with surprise. Marcus thought it looked more like he was choking.
To Greg Gorgio goes the Most Likely to Abuse-Free Samples Award,
Elizabeth said with a shaky voice, trying to keep her composure. In the back of the room, Greg buried his face in his mother's arms.
Mr. Diddley!
Mrs. Gorgio started, surprised.
My apologies, ma'am. There won't be any more slides like that,
Mr. Diddley said as he gave Elizabeth a foreboding look.
Will there, miss?
Elizabeth quickly clicked the button and the screen winked again. The projector revealed a picture of a girl wearing thick glasses, with number 2 pencils tucked snugly behind both ears. Just under her thick sweatband, the girl's eyes were intent on an exam she was completing. Her tongue was sticking out.
To Bertie Braxton goes the Math Elite Award for being the fastest student to complete timed math tests.
When she heard her name, Bertie raised one of the pencils she always kept behind her ears and then quickly replaced it.
"See?"
Mr. Diddley said with a sigh.
"That one was much better."